I want you to picture something. It's early morning, Arizona desert.
Right.
The sun is just hitting the red dirt. It's dead silent, and you're miles away from, anything. And then this bay door slides open, and out rolls this sleek autonomous vehicle. They call it a curb car.
It's surprisingly cute for a piece of industrial hardware.
It really is. But here's the catch, and this is where our deep dive really starts. This little robot, it's moving through a landscape with absolutely no cell service.
None. No 5G, no Wi-Fi.
And definitely no connection to some server farm in Northern Virginia. It is completely on its own.
In the documentation, they call that island mode. It's operating as a fully sovereign node.
Island mode. I love that term. But let's be clear, this isn't just a cool feature for a delivery bot. We're talking about a fundamental shift in how civilization survives when things go wrong.
Right. We're all used to what the sources call linear fragility. Think of the power grid.
Okay.
You have a massive power plant and this long single wire running to your house. If a tree falls on that line, three counties over,
your lights go out. Simple as that.
or a server crashes in Seattle and suddenly your smart doorbell stops working, it's a domino chain.
And we've all felt that. The internet
Are
goes
you?
down and modern life just,
Yeah.
it stops.
Exactly. So what dereticular, the organization behind this, is proposing is spherical resilience.
Spherical resilience.
Instead of a fragile line, you have a sphere. That curb car, or a rural hospital, or a solar farm, it generates its own power, stores its own data, and verifies its own identity. It doesn't need the cloud to exist.
But that leads to the massive question I kept scribbling in my notes. If there's no central server, no Google, no bank, no headquarters to check in with, how do you trust anything? If that curb car rolls up, how do I know it's not a rogue bot sent by a hacker?
Or, to raise the stakes, if a remote solar farm sends data saying, "I generated 50 megawatts today, please pay me," how do you know the owner didn't just type that number into a spreadsheet?
So we're moving from what, trusted identity, where I trust the bank to tell me who you are, to trustless identity, where
Yeah.
I have to trust
Math and physics.
math and physics.
That's the mission. And to really get it, we have to look at the three pillars of what they call the sovereign stack. You've got the hardware, the actual atoms,
Right.
you've got the network, the architecture, and then the part I know you want to get to, the human element, the sovereign badge.
The human element is the wildest part for sure, but let's start at the bottom, the hardware. The sources talk about the Oracle problem, which, sounds pretty epic.
It sounds like we're consulting the Greeks, but it's a classic engineering headache. An
Yeah.
oracle is just a bridge between the real world and the digital world, a thermometer, a camera, a GPS sensor.
Okay.
The problem is garbage in, garbage out. If I hack the thermometer to say it's 100 degrees when it's freezing, the computer believes it.
And if that computer controls the cooling system, you've got a meltdown.
Precisely. So AROS, that's the Rural Infrastructure Operating
Oh.
System, it solves this by anchoring identity in atoms, in physics.
Anchoring it in atoms.
Okay, they use two specific mechanisms. First one is radio frequency fingerprinting, or RFF.
How does a radio have a fingerprint? Let's unpack that.
Think about the human voice. You and I could read the exact same script, the same software, but we'd sound different.
Because our vocal cords are physically different.
Right. Electronic devices are the same. When a radio transmitter, like in that curb car, broadcasts a signal, it has tiny microscopic imperfections, flaws in the soldering, slight variations in the silicon. These create a unique hum or accent that's specific to that one physical device.
Let me play devil's advocate here, though. If I'm a sophisticated hacker, can't I just record that hum? Like recording your voice to trick a voice lock?
That's the first question everyone asks. But RFF analyzes the transient response. It's looking at the incredibly brief moment, microseconds, when the device powers up or shifts frequency. It's a dynamic interaction, not a static sound.
Yeah,
To
fine.
fake it, you wouldn't just need a recording. You need to build a physical clone of the device, atom for atom.
So it's a digital passport, but the watermark is the actual atomic structure of the radio itself.
Exactly. And they pair that with the second mechanism, the TPM 2.0 chip.
The trusted platform module. I see this on laptop specs sometimes.
It's a standard, but Rios uses it in a really specific way. It's a dedicated crypto processor. At the factory, a private cryptographic key is generated inside this chip. And here's the kicker. It is non-exportable.
Meaning, I can't just put it on a USB drive.
You can't get it out at all. Even if you took the chip apart with an electron microscope, you'd destroy the key in the process. So when that solar farm reports, "I generated 50 megawatts," The TPM signs that data.
The sources call this the automated notary.
Perfect term for it. The machine itself is the notary. It's witnessing its own activity. You don't need a human inspector to drive out and check the meter. The meter creates a cryptographic proof that's physically impossible to forge.
Okay, so we've established the machine isn't lying. We have a hardware root of trust. But that data has to go somewhere. And this is where the reading got a little dense for me. The dual stack network. Why two?
Because industrial infrastructure has two completely contradictory personalities. Think about the difference between a library and, say, a stock exchange floor.
Okay, I'm with you.
A library is for history. You want the books to be permanent. You don't want someone running in and changing the encyclopedia. You want immutable storage. That's the first layer. Hyphenate.
Hyphenate. This is based on the legacy Freenet architecture, right?
It is. Think of Hyphenate as the archivist. It's slow, it's heavy, but it is incredibly resistant to censorship. You upload a repair manual or an audit log, it gets shattered into pieces and distributed. It's there forever.
But you can't run a power grid on a library system. You need speed.
Exactly. You need the stock exchange floor. You need to say, turn this switch on or send 5 credits NW, that's the second layer, the new Freenet or Locutus.
And the big distinction they make here is the zero gas model. Why is that so critical?
It's pure economics. On a chain like Ethereum, every time you write data, you pay a gas fee. Let's say you have a smart meter reporting voltage every single second.
That's thousands of transactions an hour.
Right. If you have to pay even a fraction of a cent for each one.
You're bankrupt before lunch.
You are. It just doesn't scale for industry. Locutus uses a reputation system and WebAssembly smart contracts to manage state locally between peers. It doesn't need to burn global energy for every little transaction. It's the CPU to Hyphenate's hard drive.
So the Rios kernel, the OS, is just the traffic cop routing data between the library and the trading floor.
Seamlessly.
Okay, let's go back to our curb car. We know it has a trusted hardware ID. We know it's on this dual network, but it's moving. And the outline mentions the physics of trust. This sounds like a sci-fi novel title.
It's one of the coolest security features, actually. It's designed to stop what's called a teleportation attack.
Which, again, sounds like Star Trek, but I'm guessing we're talking about a hacker trying to spoof a location.
Correct. Let's say I managed to clone the digital identity of your curb car. I spin up a fake one on a server in Texas. The real one's in Arizona.
And I want the network to think the Texas one is real so I can steal its credits.
So the Texas node pings the network and says, hi, I'm Curbcar 123. The network checks the distributed state contract on Locutus, and it sees that 2 minutes ago, Curbcar 123 was verified in Arizona.
Which is 1,000 miles away.
And the node does a simple calculation. It uses the Haversine formula, which measures distance across the curve of the Earth and divides it by the time. If the speed required to get from Arizona to Texas in 2 minutes is faster than the drone's top speed, or, you know, faster than light.
It flags a physics violation.
Computer says no. It creates a proof of fraud and locks the identity. It knows one of you is lying because you can't teleport.
That makes so much sense for catching a spoof.
Mm.
But what about legitimate travel? How does the network handle that handover without losing the chain of trust?
This is the part that's really crucial. It's called the exit visa, or the handover protocol.
Like a passport stamp.
Very similar. Think of it like a relay race.
Right.
When the drone leaves the Arizona zone, that local node signs a digital exit visa. It says, I verify this drone left my range at 9 a.m. heading east.
Okay, so it's carrying this digital proof.
And when it arrives at the New Mexico zone, it presents that visa. The New Mexico node checks it. Okay, you left Arizona an hour ago. The travel time matches the distance. The previous node signed this. Welcome.
It builds a continuous chain of custody.
An unbroken chain of physical movement. You can't just appear in the middle of the network. You have to prove you traveled there.
That's a huge upgrade from just a password. It's security through geography.
Mm.
But doesn't this create a surveillance nightmare? That feels very Big Brother.
They seem very aware of that. They use zero-knowledge proofs, ZKPs. Basically, the drone can prove to the node, I have a valid exit visa from Arizona, without revealing the exact GPS coordinates of everywhere it stopped.
So it proves the validity of the path without revealing the details of the path.
Exactly.
Smart. Okay, so we have machines that rely on atoms. We have a network that splits memory and speed. Movement verified by physics. But now we have to talk about the gap.
The gap.
Machines break. Solar panels get dusty. Eventually, a human has to show up with a wrench. And humans.
Yeah.
Well, we're the weak link.
Always. We can be bribed. We can be lazy. We can make mistakes.
So how does the sovereign stack handle the guy with the wrench? This is where the sovereign badge comes in.
This is where we get into NFTs, but I need you to just wipe your brain of the image of cartoon monkeys selling for millions.
Ron, brain wipes.
In Rayos, a sovereign badge is a soulbound token. The concept comes from gaming. If an item is soulbound, it belongs to that player. You can't drop it, you can't trade it, you can't sell it.
So it's a credential. It's non-transferable.
It's a digital diploma. Let's say you take a course from the Diverticular Academy on high voltage maintenance. You pass. They mint this token to your personal crypto wallet.
And because it's on the free net, any machine in the world can verify it.
Any machine in the sovereign stack. So imagine a maintenance event. You're that technician. You drive out to a remote solar farm that's offline. You walk up to the generator.
And I've got my tablet, my wrench, and we're in island mode. No internet.
Right. Your tablet connects to the generator via Bluetooth. The generator, the node, sends a challenge, just a random string of numbers. It says, if you're really a certified admin, sign this number with your badge.
And my badge is the private key in my wallet.
Correct. Your tablet signs the data. The generator checks that signature against its local cache of authorized keys and sees, okay, this is a valid signature from a level 3 admin. The door unlocks.
But it's more than just unlocking a door, right?
Okay.
The sources mention a dual signed object. This is the part that really clicked for me on accountability.
It's the most important part. Let's say you need to do something dangerous, like shutting down the cooling system.
Yeah.
If you do that, the system stops earning money. The owner's going to be angry unless you can prove it was necessary.
Right. I need to cover my tracks, or rather, prove my tracks.
So when you hit the shutdown button, the system generates a log entry. Think of it like a check that needs two signatures to cash.
Two signatures.
The first signature comes from the machine's TPM chip. That proves where the command happened and which device was affected.
And the second.
The second signature comes from your sovereign badge. That proves who authorized it.
So I can't say it wasn't me, the machine glitched.
And the machine can't be blamed for a random error. There is cryptographic proof that human A commanded machine B to shut down at time C.
What if I want to do something really catastrophic?
Yeah.
Like a factory reset.
For high-risk commands, the system enforces a four eyes principle.
Like in the movies where two people have to turn the keys at the same time.
Exactly. The node might require signatures from two different sovereign badges from two different wallets before it executes the command.
So I'd need to bring a colleague. We both have to sign off. That prevents a rogue employee from destroying everything.
Or just an incompetent one. It forces consensus.
Let's pull this all together. The sources describe a scenario where all of this hardware, network, human happens at once. Let's talk disaster recovery.
Right. Imagine a massive storm hits a rural area, power grid is down, internet lines are snapped, a small town is operating on its own microgrid running Rayos. They're an island.
And the stakes are high, people need heat, the hospital needs power.
And suddenly the main solar inverter fails. It's pitch black. A technician drives out. In the old world linear fragility, he's stuck.
Why?
Because he can't call HQ for an override code. The machine is locked because it relies on a cloud server to verify his login. If the internet's down, the lock is jammed.
So the town stays dark because a server in Virginia is unreachable? That is terrifying.
It is. But with the sovereign stack, he walks up, his tablet shakes hands with the machine locally. The machine checks his soulbound badge against its local cache. It trusts him. He fixes the inverter. He restarts the grid.
The lights come back on.
The lights come back on. The hospital has power. And here's the magic. The machine logs all that work. The shutdown, the repair, the restart signed by his badge, and the machine's TPM, it stores it locally.
And then 3 days later, when the internet comes back.
The node reconnects to the mesh. It syncs that data. The central office sees the logs, sees the dual signatures, and says, okay, valid repair. Trust is preserved.
That's what they mean by civilization in a box. You can unplug it from the world, and it still works.
It still has law, identity, and commerce. It just waits until it can rejoin the sphere.
It feels like we're going back to basics to move forward. We're using radio waves, physics, geography, human reputation, but weaving them all together with high-level cryptography.
We are anchoring the digital world to the physical world. For the last 20 years, the internet has been this floaty, abstract place. Diverticular is saying, no, truth is physical.
Truth is physical. That's going to stick with me, especially now. I mean, I open my phone and see AI videos that look 100% real.
And that's the final takeaway. In an era of infinite digital abundance where I can generate a million fake images in an hour, the only thing that remains scarce is physical reality. The atoms in that chip, the time it takes light to travel from A to B.
And the physical possession of that key in your pocket.
Exactly. We're moving from the era of passwords, secrets, you know, that can be stolen, to the era of sovereignty, which is about things you hold and places you are.
Well, next time you see a delivery bot whizzing by, or a solar panel on a roof, take a second look. It might not just be a machine. It might be a sovereign node, proving its existence through the laws of physics.
If it's running Rios, it certainly is.
That's our deep dive for today. Thanks for exploring the stack with us.
Always a pleasure.
Keep looking for the signal and the noise. We'll see you next time.